Well, one thing at the radio station, we talk a lot about whether it's New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and that is housing, affordable housing, and housing in general. And we're going to talk about housing right now. First of all, here on Robinhood Radio, we're going to talk about, of course, what's going on in Salisbury. We have Jen Clark with us. Jen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
And John Harney has joined us today as well. John, always nice to speak to you.
Oh, thanks a lot, Marshall.
So, really, when we first of all, John, of course, is with the Housing Trust, and Jen, you're with the Affordable Housing Commission, right?
Yeah, I'm serving as chair of Salisbury's Affordable Housing Commission, which is a town-appointed board. And I'm also on the Housing Trust with John, so I also work with the Housing Trust.
All right. So, I guess let's start, John, with for people that have heard things in the news that haven't attended any of your meetings, let's talk a little bit about the Housing Trust, what it was formed to do, and what it has done over the past, and we'll get to what's going on now, in a few minutes.
That's fine. It was back, I guess, in 2000, somewhere just after that, that local people, Richard Dunham, Carl Williams, Digby Brown, people like that saw that there was a need for affordable housing and workforce housing at starter homes in Salisbury because it was starting to change. With the great influx of weekend property owners. And so they, interestingly enough, formed privately this Salisbury Housing Trust and raised private money to address the issue. And over the course of time, there's been 15 houses either renovated or newly built, and a lot of it. It's all private funds. It's a remarkable thing what these men and women have done. And Inga, Richard's wife, with the support of the town, they've created 15 homes, Marshall, that are affordable, that have 15 families or people that otherwise could not buy into this community. They're living, so they're working, they're on boards, they're volunteering. And so that's what they saw, and that was their vision, and that's what we're trying to continue on with.
All right, so that's the establishment of that. Let's talk a little bit with Jen, the Housing Trust Board, when that was formed, and what your basic orders are to do as the Housing Trust.
Well, I think you mean the commission, and I know all these names are confusing because they all start with Salisbury Housing. But the commission was formed after a series of town dialogues. The forum, I think, is what they refer to, where the town did some visioning and had public come together and give input, and affordable housing came out as sort of the top concern in Salisbury. So the town created this Affordable Housing Commission. It's a board. We're appointed by the selectmen, and our charge is to promote the creation of affordable housing in Salisbury. So the way we do that is by working with the private organizations like the Housing Trust and the Housing Committee, who are doing the building of the housing. And we support them by getting information out to the public, by holding forums to inform people about different projects that are going on, encouraging people to attend our town meetings when things are up for a vote. And then we also have a fund, the Salisbury Affordable Housing Fund, that we administer. And these organizations can apply for funds from the town, which we then give them to help them in their building. So right now, I hear a lot of complaints that it's confusing that there are three different organizations working on housing in Salisbury. But it works really well. Salisbury is ahead of the curve in this area. We adopted our affordable housing plan in 2018, which is before the state mandated that towns needed to do that. It's now mandated by the state that every town has to have a plan. And actually this year, 2023, we're going to be revising our housing plan, which is a really awesome time to sort of take stock of how far we've come, because we have made a lot of progress. I know sometimes it feels like we're not going anywhere, but we have made a lot of progress, to get more input from everyone in the town about what they'd like to see going into the future and just, you know, keep working at it.
What's interesting, Jen and John, is that in dealing with the three states, and Jen, when you said that Salisbury was ahead of the curve, definitely we look across the state line in Millerton, New York, and they are just in the process of forming a commission to work on this. And we look up in Great Barrington, and they have a huge battle that goes on because there's weekenders like we have here that come and live on the weekend. But also with these apartments that go out for rent, they're wrestling with that. They're trying to put more affordable housing in. And John, I guess what we look at here is the fact that we are so far behind the curve as a region. I think it's a couple thousand. You know, if we had all the apartments to be built, a couple thousand people would have them.
Right, right. Well, yeah, that's true. And it's a balance between, there's a big need for both rental housing in, well, for instance, Salisbury, and affordable housing itself, ownership. And so what we try to do is provide ownership, because those will be deep roots into the community. And a lot of our families who are applicants are really getting priced out of rentals, Marshall. So they can't beat the market as far as finding affordable housing. Affordable housing in Salisbury is being stripped away by investors, flippers, you know, people who buy it at the 250 or 350, put in 100 or two, and then sell it as a weekend property for 650 or seven. And so that's that house is then totally will never be affordable ever again. And so our challenge is to get to these houses first and form a partnership with the town or with our private donors to pick off these houses before they're captured by these other forces, and then to keep them affordable forever.
You know, what you're talking about is interesting, because a couple of years ago, a person who sold their house and moved from the area about 3 years ago sold their house. And they thought they got a good price for it, $330,000. People that bought it renovated it. And exactly 1 year later, put the house on the market for a little over $1 million. And guess what? It sold within one day. So that is the problem that you are facing, trying to scoop up the properties in advance.
It's and interestingly enough, like one on 5 White Hollow this year, one long-term owner who he and his wife decided that they wanted to support affordable housing and have a young family in the house and have it serve them just as it served them for 40 years. And they sold it to the Salisbury Housing Trust for under market. We were able to get in a young family of four at an affordable rate. So the generosity of that owner and his wife are unbelievable, and they could be really set an example for others in Salisbury. But that's what has to happen, is that people have to support affordable housing.
Now, how do you, how long does it take for you to rehabilitate and fix up these houses and the cost, and how is that all met?
Well, Jen, do you want to say that?
Sure. Sure. Well, we're in kind of a unique situation, because as in the house like on White Hollow that John was just talking about, that house was in beautiful condition, needed a couple of very minor fixes to a couple of things. And that transaction was able to go really smoothly and really quickly, because we had a house in great condition owners who wanted to sell it to us at a price that worked for us. And then the other side of the equation, we had these applicants who were perfectly qualified for that house, which doesn't always happen. And so that transaction was able to move along very quickly. I think from start to finish, it was maybe 3 months, 4 months, something like that.
Yeah, three months.
And the way it works when we have something like that is the housing trust buys the house and the land and then resells it to the applicant, retaining ownership of the land and reducing the sale price to the applicant. So in this example, we bought it for $325 and then sold it for $250. So the housing trust comes up with that gap between, you know, what the market, and that was, as John mentioned, well below market price, but sort of that gap to help the homeowners get in there. They were very well qualified for a mortgage at 250, but they couldn't find any properties at 250. So the housing trust fills that gap.
Now, you are now renovating a house at 70 East Main Street, right?
Correct. Yep. And that's the same idea. So we bought the house, I believe it was 250, John, is that right?
Yep, correct.
And we're putting in the money for the renovation, which is going to come out to hopefully close to 100, probably realistically 125. And that's the money that we're fundraising, that the trust is investing. And then we will be able to resell that house at 250 without having any markup on it. But they are going to get a house with a new heating system and new ceilings and new appliances. So that we're able to create a really structurally sound house that's going to serve this family for a number of years.
You know, it must be frustrating, Jen and John, to you involved so deeply in this that, first of all, people almost look like this as like it's a joke because they don't see that much housing going up. But to do what you're both doing and to make it successful, it is basically one house at a time. And, you know, we are so far behind as communities that even you could build five houses each town a year or six, and you still have a backlog that just can't be filled.
It can't be filled, but it makes a difference for those families that otherwise would not have a house to have a house. And so it's only through the generosity. We're like private fund. It's all private funds. And the town does chip in and the commission chips in, which is unbelievable. But Marshall, it's traditionally private funds and donations that support us. And so that's what we just need to get the word out that this stuff doesn't happen by magic. The other thing I wanted to bring up is the people who support this unbelievably are the contractors that they're busier than hell. They're 6 months, a year behind. They, you know, if you call a contractor right now, you'll never get a call back. And yet these guys have come, all of them, you know, as far as EJ Holmes, Decker and Beebe, Will Bassett, Tri-State Landscaping, and they're all have made time to work on this house and to give favorable estimates because they know this. And all of them are saying they're doing it because they support local affordable housing.
And Jen, you know, we talk about affordable housing, and sometimes people get confused with low-income housing, affordable housing, workforce housing. I think that also confuses the situation with the public at large as well.
Right. So the idea of affordable housing, the metric we use is that your housing expenses don't take up more than 30% of your income. So affordable housing for one family has a different definition. And when we talk about what affordable means, it's 30% of a family's income spent on housing costs, no more than 30%. And these affordable housing groups are working with families who are making up to 80% of the area median income. And so that's determined by county. So in Litchfield County, for example, the current area median income for a family of four is just around 100,000. So a family of four making 80% of that is in the high 80,000s, 88,000, something like that. So those are the types of families that we're working with the Housing Trust. When we talk about rentals, the affordable rentals, the rents are set at a sliding scale based on income as well. So if you're making 20% of area median income, your rent will be different than if you're making 80% of area median income. But those are the numbers that we're talking. So especially when we're talking about home ownership, you know, affordable home ownership is families who live and work in the community. They have good jobs. And as John was talking about, they just can't afford these outrageous real estate prices right now. So the Housing Trust is filling this really important gap. The rentals that we're working on through other means are very important as well for lower income families or families who are still working to get their credit up or their savings up or whatever they need to qualify for a mortgage. Really, really important to have those in our community. The place that the housing comes in or the home ownership comes in is a family that really wants to stay and put down roots. So maybe you've been living here, you've been in a rental, you get married, you're starting to think about a family, you want to have a house that you own. You don't want to be in a rental anymore. Right now in Salisbury, there is nothing for that sort of starter home kind of market. And that's what the Housing Trust is working on. Because if you can buy a house in the community that you want to live in, you're going to invest in that community. You know, your children will go to the schools, you'll volunteer at the PTO, you'll find other ways to be involved in the community. And that's how we get a really healthy community. So all these different types of housing, it's really important to have them all so that we can have this stable community.
And one final question for you, John. It's so important when people think about the population in our schools going down, the amount of jobs that need to be filled. I think at the top of the list of one of the problems that not only Salisbury has, but every town has in our immediate region, is that if we don't get young people who don't own homes, who can't live here, if they can't move into the area, sooner or later, the area, the businesses and the business community will basically go away. And we've got volunteers in every town that we need young people coming into our area.
Well, you can see the change because Marshall, when we grew up here, there was viable business districts in Salisbury, Sharon, even Sharon, and Lakeville. And when we grew up and we watched it slowly dissipate, and now you have, real estate and shops and design and build and, gift shops. And it's totally geared to a whole different mentality where we're becoming like a gated community or something. And so I think it's all tied in to business regeneration with home ownership and being able to have rebuild a middle class in our communities.
Well, I always tell everybody, as I'll wrap this up with this. I lived on the border of Sharon, West Cornwall. Even West Cornwall, when I was a kid, had a butcher shop. And
yes,
and two stores, even West Cornwall had that. Now it's not that way. And when we formed the Robin Hood Radio about 14 years ago, instead of becoming a commercial station, there was no future in that. That's why we formed as a not for profit, because that's the only way that we were going to grow and exist in this area.
I mean, when you stop on the way home from work to try to pick up dinner at LeBron's and the butcher counter is closed because they don't have the staff for it. That's a direct result of people not having a place to live where they work.
Well, I appreciate the work that you're both putting into this and keep us updated and informed, because what we like to do is try to explain to people so they understand better the need for housing, what type of housing, and how they might, if they're right now listening and they need housing, how they can get help.
Yeah, we have a great website in Salisbury. The three organizations got together and put together one website. So it's SalisburyCTHousing.org. You can go to one website and learn about all the work that the housing groups are doing in town. There are also information there if you are in search of housing, of who to reach out to and how to get some help finding housing. And then the Housing Trust, as we've mentioned, is really working off of private donations. So if you want to be a part of the solution, you want to make a donation to the Housing Trust, you can do it right online. It's at salisburycthousing.org/donate. And we would love to have you join us in this work.
Well, John and Jen, again, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks,
Mark.
And feel better, buddy.
Yeah.